see it in the movies, in the paper, TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer, are the trumpets getting ready to blow. There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Woman for Jesus program. Today's program, I think, is a little special. It's called The True Nature of War. The True Nature of War. And that's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to give you a video today, or audio. It will be an audio, video for me, audio for you. And it's going to kick it off after I talk about some of the headlines, what's going on today, this week. Oh, by the way, my name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this program. I just sometimes like to hit the ground running. Family, what's really going on is not being portrayed in the news at all. Even when they have other shows and news books, commentaries, whatever. They're just not touching the true nature of what's happening, even in the suicides of our veterans. 22 per day, 22 suicides per day of our veterans. Families being orchestrated. The highest level Joint Chief of Staff, they know about exactly what's going on. At the highest level of Freemasonry, they know exactly what's going on. Grant to say they're the ones causing it, using technology. Your lower-level Masons, man, get out of there. Run while you can. They are lying to you tooth and nail. Masons, all of you. The Great White Brotherhood of the Illuminati are going to target you just like they are the bankers, like there are other police officers that are not going along with the program now, scientists of almost all areas that are contracted with the government that are not going along with the Illuminati, they are being taken out. And I've got evidence of this and their planning process and them actually stating this. You understand? This is not a theory, a speculation, any of that. They're going to do it to you. It's a promise, a guarantee. And you know what? The Freemasonry, in fact, at the highest level, they know that they worship Lucifer. That's one of the last secrets you get if you last 31st, 32nd degree, and you are trustworthy to them. Then you learn that Lucifer is the true God. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell, because that's where he's going to hit, is a pit of hell. Satan's not there yet. He's what's called the second heaven. We got this little thing going around in our lives showing Satan down in hell choosing who goes where. That's another lie. He's not there yet. But people who follow him, they are in torment. The preachers aren't talking about this. Shame on them for not telling you the truth of what's going on. About repentance is required. And just because Jesus, for example, died on the cross for our sins, doesn't mean you can sit back and go to jester meetings. And I mean jester because that is an actual meeting that's conducted by the Freemasons where they jest. What's jester? Playing around. That's exactly what they do. I don't know what level they go, but the families would not like to know what they do at the jester meetings. You got to know that secrets are kept and secrets are never to be kept in God's world. Whatever you keep from your family is secret. You know God is not going to approve of it. Therefore, you know that Freemasonry is not of God. It's not of Christianity. That's a facade icing on a wormy cake. You got good people in the Freemasons, but as you go up the degrees, they brainwash you each time, each degree, to a little secret each degree, don't they? That's to lure you in, to give you the feeling that I know something the ones below me don't know. It makes me special. Well, they're working on that. They're using that to keep you pumped up, keep you special before they kill you. And they will. They're doing it already. This is not something to play with. It's not something to mess around with, a good old boys club, not at all. They're using all the lower level Masons to fulfill the Great Atlantis, the requirements for the Great Atlantis. That goes back to the 16th century of planning. Actually, way before that. I'm dedicated to broadcast because today, I can tell you right now, I can just see it already, that today is part one. And we're going to talk about the true nature of war. And this goes against my grain because I always have believed in war to fight for our country, etc., etc., etc. That's the only reason I ever joined the Marine Corps. It's the only reason I've ever trained to do what I know how to do. That's what I dedicated my whole life for, was to fight, kill, and train others very well. And I did not know the true I was not aware of the true nature of war at that time when I trained all these people. Well, I trained them good, too, because I was passionate in that area. I didn't know. I know now. And I'm going to tell you exactly why. So today, tomorrow, I know it's going to be part two. Could even be part three coming up by Thursday. We'll see how far it goes. But I got some evidence to show you. Testimony. Some entertainment of some sort. To get the point across every which way I know how. I'm putting it together as I'm sitting here. Actually, it's how I do it. It just, things just come up to me in some ways. And what I talk about is never, and probably will never be, politically correct. This is not going to happen. I don't believe in being politically correct. I don't believe in submission to human beings. But we have to have human government. Otherwise, you have anarchy. You have no choice. You want anarchy or you want human government. Romans 13 stands because it's in the Bible. Well, we don't have to follow a despotic, tyrannical government. Yeah. So you put another one back in. Oh, I got it. Uh-huh. That's what we've done since 1776. I say that date because before that, Europe was doing the same darn thing. But you had to have government. You see. Problem is, Satan has subjugated the governments under his control. And we never went through Jesus. We never went through the prayer and fasting. 2 Chronicles 7:14, to humble ourselves before God for changes of government, to go by the rules they set up already. They lied to us. We accepted it. And rebellion has always been the rule. And we've never, ever put in a benevolent government in our history, ever. I will prove that today. And tomorrow, beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can deny it. Hey, you won't prove it wrong, though. I'm going to give you quotes, dates, times, places, people. And it's not about me. I don't care about that. I don't do CDs and books. No, there's nothing wrong with that, because that's where do you think we get our research? But you got to vet them out. I call it eat the chicken, spit out the bones. And then you have good researchers. Bill Cooper, Gary Carr, Nesta Webster, Anthony Sutton. You find them along the way. I got like 20, 25 that I can trust that I goes back to the 8th century. Not too many, I'll tell you that right now, but you find them. I don't do the book stuff. I don't do the book CDs, making money off of this. This is God's work. It's not me. I'm done. I do my own, my basic routine. I get ready for the next. That's my life. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast and we're going to get started. And why they create wars for power and money. Oh, that's only a part of it. Lord, we come before you today in prayer. Lord, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we dedicate this program, Lord, and the Bible studies in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we lift up to you our petition, Father, to hear our prayers. Forgive us of our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, we know now he's our intercessor because he died on the cross, resurrected, ascended, and he's coming back. But Lord, we know in the meantime, we're to spread the gospel, to keep the peace, pray for peace, not war. Father, we call upon you to give us the watchman, the insight, the wisdom, and discernment that we can use, Lord, to spread the truth. Father, to forgive us of our sins, and we lay them before you. When we sin, when we fall back, Lord, that you guide us in the right path. You put us on the right track and give us that conviction. Give us that conviction that, Father, we need to repent whenever we fall away. We call upon you, Father, to spread the blood of Jesus around us, Lord, to protect us on our way to go, on our way of this path that we're taking. That, Father, you'll protect us with the blood of Jesus to keep those entities away, to keep those naysayers that, Father, that are trying to distract us, to take us off the track, that, Lord, you keep us protected from that outside influences. We know, Father, the major influence comes from witchcraft, Satanism, the Luciferians, New Age, and certain other ways, Lord. And we still pray, Lord, that a prayer, that, Lord, to protect us against this witchcraft. Father, we know that this is the start of it. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we plead that precious, uncorruptible blood of Jesus over myself, our families, and everything that belongs to us. And Father, we ask you for giant warrior angels and those to be loosed from heaven to surround and protect us, Lord. And as you war clubbing weapons of war to break down, undam, and blow up all walls protection around all these witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, and all the like. And Father, to break the power of all curses, hexes, the vexes, spells, charms, the fetishes, the psychic prayers, the psychic thought, and all witchcraft, the sorcery, the magic, the voodoo, all mind control, these jinxes, potions, bewitchments, the death and destruction they cause, the sickness and pain, the torment, the psychic power, the psychic warfare, and the prayer chains be broken up, and everything else be set my way or our family members' way, and those that listen, those that pray, those others that's listening today, and return this what we pray against, and the demons that bring it to them, and send it back to the senders, and right now, and back to them sevenfold, and bind it to them by the blood of Jesus, and Father, to do this every time they interfere. And Father, we just still pray that these lost souls will find the light of your Son Jesus, and their own snares and their traps have been set against themselves. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to loose them from all the mind control of Satan, and this to do every time they come to us, to release them from this mind control of Satan. And Father, we ask you that you bind the Holy Spirit, bind it to them and their hearts, and this to serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus. And so they too, they may be set from the bondages of Satan. And Father, when you send those angels down, Father, we pray on that armor of God. And Father, we pray on that belt of truth to buckle around our waist. We pray on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our vital organs and inner man and women. And Father, we cover our integrity and our spirit and our soul, and guard our heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And we pray on these gospel shoes of peace, to choose to stand to the shoes of your good news, and on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the solid rock of the gospel. And Father, we pray on the shield of faith, and put that shield in our hands right now, and put that shield in the hands of the angel, Father. If we take up the shield of faith, we ask that you might extinguish every dart and arrow that's launched from the enemy that takes us down spiritually. Send it back to them. And those that bring us down physically, mentally, and emotionally, to neutralize all those areas, Lord, to keep us strong, to carry your gospel. And Father, we pray on the helmet of salvation that protects our mind from the thoughts that can lead us astray. And Father, we pray on and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God in the King James Bible. And Lord, we pray that if we don't have that Bible with us, Lord, that you'll give us the words written upon our hearts that we can witness to others about the love of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for our veterans, that Lord, that we'll have whistleblowers to come out to talk the truth about the vaccines, to talk the truth about the orchestrated suicides, that Lord, that you will set up divine appointments to guide our veterans in the right path and to show them the truth about the nature of war. And Father, we pray for the children that's being profiled and abducted for these witchcraft sacrifices and the death that they're causing. Father, protect those children and families and give comfort to those who have children missing. And Father, we pray for those who are experiencing the tragedies, especially in Korea and other places. That Father, we pray for the families that using these tragedies that's been set up by Satan, that Father, you'll turn around and lead them to Jesus. We pray for the courage of these preachers and pastors and bishops and rabbis and priests, that Father, they'll step away from their religion and get with Jesus, and preach from the true word of God, the King James Bible, to give them that courage to once and for all do the right thing. Because, Father, the falling away we see beginning in all the churches, synagogues, and the cathedrals. Lord, we pray against these fallen angels, that, Father, you block those portals that they open in these holidays that they sacrifice innocent people, and to strip away their protection and reveal these fallen angels for who they really are. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I don't know if you've guessed it or not, we're in a war. And this is unlike any war that I've ever trained to be a part of. I thought in all my days that the days I was training, a war would finally come that I could go out and kill people in that battle. Well, I was in between the wars. So then I got out, I thought, well, darn. Yeah. So I joined anything I could find when I was working as a government contractor to put me over in areas of conflict. It found me, but I still was never able to kill somebody. God kept me away from that idiotic notion. Saudi Arabia, Kosovo, been to Congo, but God kept me protected. It wasn't for a lack of trying. I guess God knew something I didn't. Family, literally, history books that you have in school, since the day, I don't care who I'm talking to, since the day you started school, doesn't matter who, unless you're born before 1908, whoever I'm talking to, the history books are completely fabricated. They're worthless. Now, they're telling you all the same thing, because they want you to lose that sovereignty. They've controlled education for this purpose. Why? Because when you lose that sovereignty, that pride in your nation, pride, oh, there's the key word, pride. But now you lose it, you demoralize. That's called the dialectic. That's the thesis. The antithesis, we have something better for you. It's world peace. Yeah, since they caused the wars, now they give you world peace. That's the game thing right now. And they have been playing it since 1700s in our country. Before that, the Magna Carta. Before that, all the way back to Genghis Khan. All the way back to Nimrod and everybody in between. It's been a constant supernatural attack upon God's people. His word, even before the flood, and the flood wiped out the first, and the fire is going to wipe out the second. And there's not a darn thing they can do about it. Nothing. They can't harness the weather. They can't harness God's principles using science knowledge now. It's not going to work. They can't create transhumanized, is that a word? Anyway, transhumanized beings like they did before the flood to defeat God's angels. It's not going to happen. It's going to take one command from Jesus Christ at Armageddon. Armageddon is 7 years after the first seal had been opened. Worldwide, it's never happened. You've never had worldwide peace. So how can these lying preachers like Hagee, Gallup, and some of the rest of them even begin to think this is Armageddon or Gog and Magog? It's an abomination for these so-called preachers to come up with this nonsense, blood moons and all the other silly nonsense, because they have no evidence, and all they're counting on is their parishioners don't know the Bible as well as they do. And that's why these Hagees, Joyce Myers, Copeland, the rest of them are lying. One blood moon? No. A moon is blood is in the sixth seal. Revelation 6, 12 to 17. That's only one, and none before and none after. It's an abomination that people can trust these clergymen from Osteen and the rest of them, Joyce Myers and all the rest, because that's how Satan. And they are all Freemasons. Freemasons, get out of there and run for your lives. Because that's what is counting is to take is your life and your soul, to use you so they can achieve their utopia that's planned by Sir Francis Bacon. Oh, yeah, I know about that. Atlantis, the new Atlantis, with a hybrid race combined. After God divided us all, they're trying to bring it all together. That's the purpose of it. They're not telling you that. And everything I'm telling you, I have evidence for. You can deny it, but you won't prove it otherwise. Now, that's not saying I'm so good. I'm not. I just know how to bring stuff together and connect the dots. That's it. A lot before me has done the same thing. I'm just another generation bringing it to you. Then I go my way. Whatever happens, doesn't matter to me. But I trust in Jesus Christ. If he allows me to die, then so be it. If he allows me to continue on, then so be it. I'm under his services. Well, on our headlines, one thing I want to talk about is that the beliefs we have don't get us to heaven. Only a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Religion, all religion is bunk. Religion, all religion, Christianity, created by Constantine, 325 AD, is nothing but a cover of the ancient mystery religions brought forth from Nimrod all through the ages after. Then by 300, 312, thereabouts, 325 AD, they start solidifying religion into Christianity. Now, you can't say Christianity is about God, because then you're going to call God a liar. Look at Christianity. It's so divided in so many different doctrines. Are you saying that God plays favorites? Even an atheist, come up with some wisdom about God. Imagine that. Bertrand Russell, part of the corruption of the American education system, because besides the Jew and Horace Mann, Bertrand Russell even, he said that all religion is false, but only one can be true. That came from an atheist, and he's absolutely right. You think God's going to have different doctrines for each different groups of what you just picked, like you're going to a salad bar and you're picking smorgasbord here about what you want to put on your salad? You think God's going to approve of all salads, no matter what's on there? No, he has one set, and it's in the King James Bible. It's called the Gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. If we can get to heaven in different ways, then Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. If we can get to heaven any way we want, then that means that since we're all equal, we can just make up a religion and get to heaven. Let's say as a murderer or I'm a rapist. That's my religion. Who are you to judge me? You do your thing with like the Mormons, you inherit a planet. You want to believe that? Go ahead. Well, you know, say I'm a rapist and a murderer. Well, that's the way I live. That's what I want. Okay, so that's my religion. You can't judge a rapist and a murderer if that's his religion. Since when are you judge? So that means he can make up his own religion. You did, so he can too. But the creator of the universe says no. It's called the Ten Commandments. He says you follow them or you're not going to make it. He says that now my son is born, died, rose again. He's telling you what you're going to do about it. It's only through him. And he tells you, I didn't come to abolish the law. That means the law, the Ten Commandments, still stand, but he fulfilled the law. He became the fourth commandment through him. Every day when you eat, every day when you drink, you remember about Jesus Christ. Love your neighbors yourself. And love the Lord your God with all your soul. And all that covers all Ten Commandments. And Ten Commandments is a summary of 667 instructions given to Moses called the Masoretic Text, the Old Testament. It's all right there. And it hasn't changed one iota. Because Jesus Christ tells us what to do. So a rapist and a murderer then, if you do as thou wilt, is the whole of the law. That's his expression that makes him feel good when he does it, even though he's guided by Satan and the demons. That's his way of getting to heaven. Then who are you to judge a murderer? Even if he kills one of your family members, you just have to lump it. You want to be a part of the motto of the New Age, Luciferian religion? Do as thou wilt? Then you got to go along with it. If he murders one of your family members, say, oh, well, his karma will come get him or something, and you must move on. You can't get all excited and all emotional about it. That's his learning. So if you want to go that way, you got to go the whole way. That's what they believe. That's exactly what they believe. That's why, listen, that's why they're going to eliminate all prisons in the United States specifically and let out all the felons of no more prison, no more, and no more death penalty is over. You see? Shed man's blood, by man shall your blood be shed. You have to have laws that go along with what the Bible says. Laws must conform to the Bible. But, of course, we know they've been corrupted all along anyway. But we never go to God to get it changed. Rebellion's never worked. Ever in our history. That's the motto of the New Age movement. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. That's what you got to look forward to. It's called the first seal. However, God established one set of laws and rules that we all have to go by. They're pretty specific. And that's why we can't judge moral behavior. But knowing the laws from the only true source of the King James Bible, we can correct, teach, or rebuke. It also serves to keep us on the right track. Well, I was looking at the news today and I see how Satan is operating. For example, a Pakistani man, and of course you'll read this article throughout the United States and Europe and Middle East and whatever, they put them all out there. Pakistani man accused for cannibalism after eating a body of a dead newborn baby. Family, that is not from a tabloid. That's what happened. This is demonic, family. Certainly not to excuse the individual, but this is a demonic influence. Unfortunately, when the world gets into the fourth horseman, famine, is the black horse, the third horseman. The fourth one is the pale horse, pestilence. Famine, war, there'll be people eating things that they never thought they would before. It'll be in the United States. You have no idea what's coming. When? Don't know. You had in Nigeria, 234 schoolgirls were kidnapped from one school. This is April 22nd, we're coming upon April the 30th, April 27th, we're coming across May 1, an anniversary, a very significant anniversary of the World Revolutionary Plan by Adam Weishaupt is May the 1st, 1776. April the 19th and 20th, just like I told y'all, there's going to be mass, there's going to be some murder. Well, you had the ship, you had some other deaths occurred. Family, those are different areas of the world, those were sacrifices. It was just accidents. Here, these 234 girls will be used for satanic worship and our sacrifice. You had a town, an unfortunately named town of killed Jews, to vote on a name change. Okay? And now they put it in the newspaper. You want to see the game they're playing? The focus will be now upon the Jews. Just like it was in the days of Herod, just like in World War II. Because Jews are God's chosen people. I ain't no Jew, and nobody in America is either. It's Middle East. They look Middle Easterner, the real Jews, not the fake ones, Khazars, Ashkenazi. And they're hidden away, and they're going to come out mid-tribulation, and they're called the 144,000 of real Hebrew Israelites. Not the fake in Israel we got today. God's going to clean that out like Roto-Rooter in the second seal. It's called the Third World War. It's coming. And God will clean out Jerusalem. Because they will sign a peace covenant, confirm a peace covenant with the Antichrist. Hagee should learn this. He doesn't know it, apparently. And he doesn't know, apparently, that the Star of David is an occult symbol requiring blood sacrifice. The Star of David has nothing to do with God, has everything to do with Lucifer. The actual symbol of the Jews is a menorah, candlesticks. That's the seven candlesticks. That's a Jewish symbol, not the Star of David that Hitler came out with. Mm-hmm. But it's really the Crest of Solomon. The interlocking pyramids above, so below. Combined DNA. It gets very deep for this witchcraft symbol. Americans, don't be punching your chests out there. Don't be puffing your chest out, because our flag has 50 pentagrams on it for that very reason. We've been fooled all along. What's coming up now is assisted suicide. Article, assisted suicide, not for adults only. They're looking now to making suicide, euthanasia, legal for children, and the parents won't have anything to do with it. They can't stop it, or they'll be in violation of laws. That's already on the table. It's already been passed in Belgium, and Oregon is working on it now while y'all sleeping. To stir up the pot, a racist Easter eggs were left on the lawn, outraged parents. So they make these little articles, and they make it viral, as they call it. So we all read about it. This is to stir the emotions, to show you how bad things are. That's racism still out there. Don't you all want to come together? And there the answer is going to be, obviously, yes, we do. Oh, we thought so. See, what's going to happen is, when you all do come together, it's going to be under a Luciferian order. They're not telling you that right now. They had this, okay, here's one. Here's how they do it. Boy Scouts banned church that let gay man lead the troops. Unquote. Now, the way it works here is now they're going to ban the church. Has a gay, you got to be kidding me. A gay Boy Scout leader. See, the Boy Scouts were created by the Masons anyway. And Nate Truott has a lot of testimony about how they have been pedophiles in a lot of the Boy Scout troops. You understand? Okay. So, it's also linked up to Freemasonry. Eastern Stars, Girl Scouts. De Molay, Boy Scouts. It's all connected. And so, the game they're going to play here is now the NAACP will sue the Boy Scouts to bring the church out of being banned, and the gay man to have his rights and lead the troop, and they'll have a court precedent set. That's the game they play. Well, looky there. Look what I got. A lawsuit challenging Georgia gay marriage ban filed. Ah, well, la-di-do-da. Isn't that a hoot, huh? Well, looky there. Man, are people ever going to get the point? Are they ever going to realize what's going on? Freemasonry, the Boule Society, is for the blacks. Freemasons, for the whites. and they just go right along. Now, let me tell you something. This New World Order, they don't like minorities, and they don't like non-transhumanized human beings. A gay rights group filed a federal lawsuit on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, challenging Georgia's constitutional ban on same-sex marriages. Gwinnett County, how I lived there, Gwinnett County, it's how they work it. But what the homosexuals don't realize is they're digging their own graves. They don't understand they're being used. And as the states fall apart and fall, as the states fall away and lift the bans and the homosexuals start marrying in the United States, God is going to pull away. And eventually it'll be an overbalance. And Satan will allow, God will allow Satan to then launch his attack on the United States because we pulled away. There'd be no reason for God to restrain him. And here's another one I got for you. What's her name? Eastern Star, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer. Another one. Just like Palin. Five ways Arizona's abortion restrictions are hurting women. They're trying to legalize abortion. And once they do that, that's a murder of children. God is going to hammer us like a ball peen hammer and a tin penny nail in a bucket of sand. Americans, get ready. While y'all sitting in the waiting, and the Freemasons and the legislation throughout the United States are passing all these laws, they know at the highest level that their New World Order will be allowed to happen. They know at the highest level what they're doing. You notice that? They say here more illegal abortions will happen. More unnecessary medical abortions will happen. Shaming women. 4 and 5 added costs and travel burdens. Okay. Now let's really talk about abortion here for about the next 5 minutes. Let me tell you what's it really all about. You see, abortion, what they're not telling you, I love to strip it right down to the molecule. Abortion is a rite of witchcraft. That's the real purpose of it. You see, you have a long history of abortions that's being performed by practicing witches. Literally. It goes to the highest level of government, Freemasonry, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Order of the Garter, Queen Elizabeth II, one of her little handmaidens that looks like Helga, the fighting, I don't know, she'd be a professional wrestler. She has a belt buckle on. She's clear as a bell. A Masonic emblem on one side of the belt buckle and this pentagram of witchcraft on the other is accompanying Queen Elizabeth II in one of the photos. You're talking serious witch here. And I'm not being demeaning. I'm telling you it's what they are, literally. For the men, they're warlocks. I know two judges down in Winder, Georgia, on the bench that are two warlocks that sit in judgment of other people. You would be shocked and amazed to know about Asheville, North Carolina, about Virginia Beach, about West Virginia, about many areas in the mountains of Appalachian, about witchcraft at the lowest level, all the way up to Congress, and your Queen Elizabeth all the way to the top, practicing witchcraft. Family, Mary Todd, Lincoln's wife, you can't even imagine how evil that woman was. Lincoln pulled away and did the right thing. That's why they murdered him. The Jesuits, the Freemasonry. It's all connected, family. I'm not going from back and forth. I'm telling you, all this is connected together. Now, Patricia Baird Wendell was founder and owner of an abortion business called Aware Women. And she was an avowed witch who raised a stink about many years ago. Quote, "You practice your religion and let me practice mine. My religion is holy ritual child sacrifice." Unquote. Whoops. She got a way of saying that because her abortion clinic was legal. In fact, she meant to make the news to promote one of her books called The Targets of Hatred, Anti-Abortion Terrorism. It labels a pro-life position as fundamentalist fanatics endangering the lives of women, yada, yada, yada. Oh, by the way, look up yada, yada, yada. If you look out hard enough, you'll find out that's the name of a demon. I kid you not. Isn't that a hoot? Yada, yada, yada. Is calling that demon. Forgive me, Lord. You know that this woman, she's one of five that can be used to show that's a religion and they're proud of it, just like Freemasonry. They share this insanity that claiming feminine power involves the initiation of taking the life of she creates. That's how a woman graduates to goddess level. Now you know why that woman this past week, or was it end of last week, killed six babies. She's into witchcraft. The Masonic maxim is true. Everything really is out there in plain sight. But see, people don't believe their eyes and ears. They won't listen to what they're being told the truth. They don't pray for discernment and wisdom. If they don't believe evil is real, and there's a non-human aspect to it, they don't believe it. That's why everything that comes in broad daylight in the 1980s about the epidemic of Satanism already went down the memory hole, and they're counting on that. We always have to start from scratch. Legislators and governors have closed most down in Texas, for example, of pulling state funding from Planned Parenthood. But they'll come back up again because they're increasing their influence. Okay. That has everything to do with what I'm talking about today. It is all connected together. Every bit of it. War, I thought, was, in my thinking at the time, a noble thing. That you're protecting your country, defend from freedom, defend democracy, and all this, that, and the other. That was a lie all along. It's always been a lie. Now, me being a former U.S. Marine, that pains me just a tad bit. But I have to tell the truth. Not very popular what I'm saying, but wasn't very popular with me when I found it out. I looked in disdain and disrespect and desire to want to choke the living daylights out of these pot-smoking, long-haired hippies that I saw in college in the 1970s, burning their cards and running to Canada like a bunch of cowards. I'd poke them when I was in college. I'd do stupid things like all rednecks would. I didn't know that they were right. I had no idea. I'm going to play for you a testimony of a World War I veteran that tells you about it. Bear with me, listen carefully. He talks in some of the dialogue. It's kind of hard to understand him. He's a British. And he's an anti-war hero. Now, it's not just anti-war. It goes much deeper than that. I'm going to play it for you. It's about 10, 18 minutes or so. About 18, I think, minutes long. He tells you about it. And then what I'm going to do after, something he didn't know, to support what he says as to how, just how war has been orchestrated exactly. Things that he didn't know. But he knew by being there, like Major General Smedley D. Butler knew. Quote, war's a racket. He wrote that treatise. He's a 3-time Medal of Honor winner. He learned about it after, about war, because war is a racket. You can read it. It's there for you. Major General Smedley D. Butler, 1932 time frame. And again, he had 3 Medal of Honors, but on record, only 2, because he turned one down. He didn't think he deserved it. He was a real warrior. But he found out in the early part of the 20th century about the Banana Wars, Nicaragua, etc., that we were nothing more than just debt collectors under the lie of fighting for freedom. Now, that pains me to say that, but I'll tell you how it works here a little later. Now, I'm going to play this recording and listen to his testimony. He's dead now. He died 109 years old. He's a World War I veteran. And then when it's over, I'm going to give you exact examples about World War I that he didn't know that supports what he said, but I'll give it to you exactly who Churchill really was. FDR. And I'm going to give some things to y'all that you haven't heard before and some things that you have heard before. And I do that to put things in proper perspective. And then, how about you not believing me and then you go back and prove it wrong? How about that? And you just go on ahead and do that. The truth must be told. So let me introduce you to Harry Patch.
If any man tells you he went over the top and he wasn't scared, he's a damn liar.
At the age of 111, Harry Patch, the last surviving soldier from World War I, gave strict instructions for his funeral. There should be no weapons on display. On his last visit to Flanders, to remember his pals, Harry said that war was calculated slaughter, and that the dead were victims of governments, and that the war wasn't worth one life. Then, with slow movements of his spindly arms and pallid blue-veined hands, he carefully indicated where some of the wreaths that he'd brought with him should be laid. Harry wanted them put beside the graves of those whom the British Army had killed. When, aged 109, Harry had mischievously suggested in his crow-like West Country life-rattle of a voice that he'd give the presidents of quarrelling countries a bullet each for each of the fools to fight it out alone. The last living witness to the war to end all wars would stoutly declare that he'd no time for thieving politicians' lies. Dulce et decorum est. Harry repeatedly nailed the warmonger's vampirish fib, the great lie, which so stubbornly refuses to give up the ghost, and he urged it to crawl back beneath its memorial stone and then die off. Harry Patch was able to give the vainglorious delusion of dying for your country a more derisive snort than even Wilfred Owen managed. For the last soldier in that so unheroic and so mawkishly mythologized war to end all wars had pricked the bubble of the whole unnecessary venture, and with the sharpest pin. Harry Patch had never aimed to kill a single enemy, for he had none. The last hero undermined all war's empty self-regard with every breath he took, through ceaselessly deriding the fond fairy stories about how noble it is for a fresh-faced boy to flush his life down a muddy toilet of a trench, while bleeding and screeching with terror as he's thwacked by flying lumps of burning metal, so that, as war's shallow spin doctors, and as the well-heeled, stately madmen of the political arena so persistently proclaim, others might be free. There was also more to Harry's thought than the soft-brained platitudes of peace and love. It was born of the bone. When faced at Passchendaele with someone coming towards him, coming to kill him, coming shrieking out of the smoke and cordite, their pistol blazing, Harry made a point of bringing him down with just a leg wound.
As that German came towards me, and I can't kill him. I mustn't kill him. I can remember when I joined the army, I swore I would serve my king and country. And by some means or another, it flashed in my mind when Moses came down off Mount Sinai, the sixth commandment he brought down, thou shalt not kill. And I can't kill him. I had about 5 seconds to make my mind up. I shot him above the ankle, and above the knee. I brought him down. I didn't kill him.
He'd always say with pride, and then, almost inaudibly, he'd reveal how, early in the war, he'd made his own small bid to end it, to end that war to end all wars. Harry'd made a pact with 5 fellow soldiers that they'd never kill a man, that they'd never kill a single enemy.
The 5 of us were a little group together, and that's what worried me most when 3, 4, and 5 were killed.
According to King's regulations, their pacifist pact would have been a capital offence had Harry and his mates been discovered, and, ever afterwards, Harry would allude to it with a guarded chuckle, as if he could be arrested for it still, escorted to the regimental guardhouse, and even put before a firing squad, and shot for his treason nearly a century on. Just after the illegal invasion of Iraq, a real traitor, the then Prime Minister, Tony Blair, hoped to meet Harry, now becoming well known as the Last Tommy, with a view to his exploiting him in a photo opportunity designed to heighten Blair's own profile. After Blair effected the introduction, he edged towards Harry's wheelchair, then hovered beside him, grinning, as if attempting to absorb his stardust and even claim it in some way for his own. But unexpectedly, he met with Harry's sharp rebuff. Harry regaled him with the Harry Patch remedy for conflict resolution, namely that politicians who took us to war should have been given the guns and told to settle their differences themselves, instead of organizing nothing better than legalized mass murder. Harry also told him that nobody during the First World War should have been shot for cowardice, as war is organized killing. Harry then looked up slowly at the embarrassed face of his now thwarted, lens-hungry predator, as he added with a rigid stare, "And nothing else." Harry Patch had done what no war crimes tribunal has yet succeeded in, namely, to make the despised war criminal and profiteer Anthony Charles Linton Blair squirm, make his excuses, and scuttle off. Harry also thought that the nation's commemoration beside the cenotaph of its wartime dead was just show business. Instead, on November the 11th, on Armistice or Poppy Day, Harry would choose to sit, quietly, with a fresh glass of stout, a tartan blanket on his knee, and to recall each of his good friends, and how some of them had died. In his mind's eye, he'd see them still, standing and quivering, and then flailing like windmills as they'd stumble and fall towards Harry through the mists of time.
All I can remember is their nicknames, Morty Allen, Jack, and Jill. That's all I can remember. I wish I could.
Harry would then look up from such salutary flashbacks to inquire sharply, "What are we doing now that's really any different?"
Two civilized nations, English and German, fighting one another. Why?
Those who came to visit the great man from the Ungreat War, in his care home in Somerset, would meet an amateur historian, keen on Arthurian myths, who'd spent his life as a professional plumber. An ordinary man, Harry was keen to make that plain, but one who'd plumbed a simple truth in an extraordinary fashion. There was no glory, not the slightest whiff of it. "Glory's just gold leaf," he'd say. "Passchendaele was mud, mud, and more mud, mixed together with blood." He'd look up, his head at a frail, half-wounded angle, but always with a twinkle in ancient, limpid eyes, and wryly ask, "If all wars end with people sitting around a table talking, just like we are now, then you'd think they could have done that to begin with, without all the heaps of bodies in between." Harry had had the chance, like few others, to put war's inflated myth-making to the test, and find it wanting, caused by a crude fault line in the human psyche, which Harry tried to patch. By way of a reward, should there be any kind of moral economy, Harry would gradually discover that he was living far, far longer than almost anyone, due, perhaps, to his talking life-enhancing sense. One rainy Saturday in Somerset, he closed his eyes for that distant, reassuring twinkle to find another home. Seated in his armchair, he slipped off, with no showbiz fanfare, no medal for a final leap over the top into no man's land. The new no man's land, he hoped, would be unburdened by quaking, shrieking half-children and blazing bombs that mimicked a medieval hell and burning demonic bullets, but was instead filled with his rollicking mates, the fellow pact members that he'd kept faith with all his life, all now maybe joking with the so-called enemies, whom they'd spared by nicking in the legs or winging. A gang of flightless angels, even. The pact's members and those whose lives they'd saved would now be joined by one who'd spent 111 years as a living testament to the priceless virtue of none of it ever happening anymore, if Harry Patch could help it. Harry'd buffed up the venerable motto of War Resisters International: "Wars will cease when men refuse to fight." By his giving it the firmest possible shine, it had made him and his old friends greater than anything that had taken place in that so-called Great War, that serial enormity.
The Great War is a chapter in our history we must never forget. So many sacrifices were made, so many young lives lost. So today, nothing could give me greater pride than paying tribute to Harry Patch from
this
Somerset.
This is a sad day, and it's a moment of reflection for our country. This is the last of a generation of heroes and courageous people who served our country in World War I. I was privileged to meet Harry Patch to hear...
As soon as Harry's death was announced, every statesman, politician, royal panjandrum and military brass hat swiftly sidled into the limelight, eager to use Harry for their own ends and squeeze him into the crooked jigsaw of their own inglorious agenda, namely, to rebrand war's moth-eaten romance, to give war's crass social engineering another retread, enabling it to carry on sustaining them in a self-important half-life, still wringing out the last drops of patriotic bloodlust from blood-soaked flags, as if Harry's soul ever had anything in common with militarism's tunnel vision, with its tawdry bling, or with the state's ungodly fanning of man's dysfunctional death wish. Each in turn would clumsily strive to glamorize Harry's contribution to a supposedly legendary war. What a man! What a testimony to the human spirit! What a towering example to us all! Cliché after cliché was piled on top of Harry's corpse as mindlessly as a child slaps down mud pies. "Private Harry Patch was the greatest living Englishman, the bravest of the brave, the last glorious survivor of that great war. The same phrases were zealously repeated with all the petty pride that conceited, posturing nationalism can conjure, while speaker after speaker after speaker studiously overlooked Harry's truest and most subversive quality, as if each one of them was desperate to bury it in the cold clay alongside his remains. Every single person paying homage solemnly omitted to mention what it was that Private Harry Patch had done. As the unmemorable ranks of all the dullest dogs of pomp and pow's fly-blown ceremonial paid their enfeebled tributes to his loyalty and service, they'd ignorantly reiterate a claim which he'd never made, namely, the patent falsity that Harry had fought so that we could all be free.
And for the past 4 years, I've done nothing but talk of World War I. No, I want to forget it.
But the irony was, the unique, the exquisite irony was, that the hero they were at such pains to appropriate, Harry Patch, their oh-so-patriotic and dutiful last Tommy, had never really fought in their accursed war at all. Their hero was a conchie, a fifth columnist, a peacenik renegade. He never killed a soul. Harry had never fought in that imperialistic war some so love to weep over in their cups, impotently grieving for a lost generation, for our brave lads who gave their all for king and country, to the surging pastoral strains of Elgar anthems. But Harry had refused to fight in that uniquely heroic war, now almost fetishized, a war that harsh reality reveals was engendered solely by trade rivalry. That war to end all wars was soon to be the cause of World War II. Then, thanks to all of that war's unfinished business, the cause of World War III, the Cold War, leading inexorably to 4, and maybe 5, and maybe more. Instead, Harry'd fought against all wars, self-replicating lies, in the bravest way he knew, and, together with his friends, proved more courageous than any thoughtless, puffed-up killer.
I picked up a piece of shell about 2 inches long, half an inch wide, jagged edge to it, right in the groin. The doctor came along and he said, "Would you like me to take that shrapnel out?" And the pain from it was terrific. And he said, "No, before you say yes, with no anaesthetic in the camp whatsoever." And I said, "How long will you be?" He said, "Well, about 2 minutes. So I thought for a minute, I said, "Go ahead with it." And in those 2 minutes, I could have killed that bloody doctor.
And to the last, Harry had fought not to have his shy and noble stature poached by crooked Whitehall kingpins, not to serve a compliant status quo, nor the dusty panoply of royal and military confectionery with their unexamined moral bankruptcy, all those who continue to give credence to other idiotic ventures, whereby more young lions are led by donkeys to their doom.
On this, the 90th anniversary of the Great War Armistice, we welcome you wherever you may be as you join us here in Whitehall for this very special service and ceremony of tribute, commemoration, thanksgiving, commitment and prayer. This is a ceremony of tribute because we wish to honour those from many parts of the world who, in a spirit of service and self-sacrifice endured the long and painful struggle of the First World War.
Dress it as we may, feather it, daub it with gold, huzzah it, and sing swaggering songs about it, what is war, 9 times out of 10, but murder in uniform? Douglas Jerrold.
Now, I'm back with you. All right. Let's talk about this now for a minute. About what really happened and what's really going on, and with evidence. You see, that's how I deal with things, is with evidence. That's the best way. And I bring up evidence that, based on history, that you won't hear too many places. Because, like Henry Patch was saying, a lot of it is hidden from the public view. But now they're starting to bring it out, because they want you to see how bad war is, because they caused it anyway. And they want you to see how bad war is, because now they're going to present to you worldwide peace. But the problem is, the peace they offer is the same people taking control again, to placate once again. And who are these people? The Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Skull and Bones. This is the synagogue of Satan, of which they're not telling you. It's not Muslims. It's not Jews. Are the Jews and Muslims being used? Sure. They're being used as pawns, like we all are, by the secret societies, of which some of you all are members, and you don't even know it, that the ones you work for are the same ones that's going to kill you, and the ones that's caused your family members to die in wars that were set up by design, which I will prove here shortly. Now, I'm going to kind of take my time, and this sometimes really, you know, it fires me up a little bit, because I dedicated all my life when I got out of college, and actually my college I wanted to use to springboard me into a career in the military to go kill people. That's what I wanted to do for a living. When I got out of the Marines, I even stupidly tried to find some way to get hired as a mercenary. I mean, did all kinds of stupid things I was wanting to do, because it was already always ingrained in my head to do all this, you know, not let the training go to waste, etc., etc., etc. And I got deterred along the way to anti-terrorism and government contracting and, you know, pretty good money, contract work and so forth and so on. So a lot of this didn't happen the way I'd intended. And I really didn't start learning about all this till 2006, when the things started coming together. And I said, oh my, isn't that just a hoot? Now, I'm going to break loose here in a minute, and I'm going to start a dialogue of explaining to you with evidence about War One, in which Harry Patch fought in, and something they knew that I guess majority of people didn't know. But I'm going to add to it what really happened behind the scenes to substantiate what Harry Patch had already sensed, we'll say. He didn't know the details. He just knew something wasn't right. The same thing with General Butler of the Marine Corps, except he knew firsthand, but he didn't know still. He didn't know the extent of it. And FDR was a part of planning for Pearl Harbor in the 1920s. I mean, it's deep. It's really deep. Massively deep. And if the troops could figure this out and know what they're really behind, and if the government and their leaders, their generals, are not for them, and the secret societies, no wonder they go to India when they get out of the military and they come back from Iraq and Afghanistan. Look it up. You'll find there's a migration of troops coming out and getting out of the military, using the money they had made, heading over to India. Why would they do that? Well, simply because they attributed the wars that they were led to in Iraq and Afghanistan, wherever else, and the things they did, which were designed to increase the effects of post-traumatic stress, and that the wars were designed to go against their training to enhance post-traumatic stress, that these wars were being orchestrated by those who went to church, the Catholic Church and other churches. So I don't want any part of that religion, they think. And so they head to Hinduism and Buddhism and to study the ancient mystery religions of peace, which is another way which you're heading down the wrong path. Family, Jesus Christ is not about religion today. Now, we get into Wounded Knee. Everything in our history is a part of this. Everything. Our massacre of the Indians. Unbelievable level. You think Hitler was bad? You have no idea. Some people have no idea about our own government in the killing and murdering of Indians, blacks, since 1712 to 1960. And we white folk ignore what our ancestors did in this so-called free country. And we have the gall to celebrate the 4th of July? There's a problem there. Who's free in America? It wasn't the blacks. They were murdered, raped, divided. KKK, a member of Christian Identity. Hey, something's wrong here. Something's not right. You see, I remember when I was a child in Mount Airy High School in the 7th, 8th grade, I would do research. And they had, you can't find those books now, but I saw with my own eyes the books that I did research on in the South, of how they would chain blacks and onto trees and then set them on fire and cut pieces as souvenirs in Georgia, North Carolina, and Mississippi and places like that, and then make them set different places. That's freedom? You got to be kidding me. Hey, don't forget about what happened, because you got to repent for that. And the blacks have got to do some forgiving. And when that happens, then you'll see a change, but that's not going to happen. The Boule Society, the Freemasonry at the white folk, making sure everybody fights each other. So you have a lot of chaos, then you'll want order, but the order they bring you is not the order you think that it is. It's Mount Nelvent, still controlled by the Freemasons and Knights of Malta. Tony Blair was Knights of Malta. As a matter of fact, let's take a step further in this. The Roman Catholic Church uses military-like orders of societies to carry out their aims to protect the church. In the 16th century, the massacre of Bartholomew, St. Bartholomew massacre, they murdered 70,000 to 100,000 French Huguenots, Christians, in 1 week. Jasanovich, no, I didn't say a bad word. In Jasanovich, Croatia, 1940s, concentration camp, ran by the Roman Catholic Ustasha, murdered 750,000 Serbian Orthodox Christians. Oh, man. Now you know what Kosovo is really all about. Oh, I'm not done. 60,000 Jews? Oh, it's a Jewish conspiracy, huh? Oh, okay. And I'm not done. 26,000 gypsies in just one concentration camp called Jasanovich. And guess who is one of the administrators? Bishop Stefanich, who they're trying to cantonize. And by doing that, they tried to stop the production of a book called Witness to Jasanovich's Hell by Ilya Ivanovich. It gives you names, dates, times, places, pictures, everything. Go ahead, Holocaust deniers. Prove that one wrong. You fail. Holocaust did happen. They're counting on those like Harry Patch and those in World War II to die out, just die and go away, so now they can come out with Holocaust denial. Holocaust denier, Holocaust was conducted by the Roman Catholic and the Illuminati to ferret out and find those Hebrew Jews and kill them before the 144,000 can come out. And the tribe of Dan is a part of this. Queen Elizabeth II is part of that tribe of Dan. And they believe that they are the hybrid. Oh, excuse me. Did I say hybrid? Oh, I'm sorry. I mean the offspring of Jesus and Mary. Well, the Jesus they're hybrids of is not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'll tell you that right now. And Mary, not Mary Magdalene of the Bible, is some woman used as a womb for the Son de Emmanuel, Yeshua, the fake Jesus, is coming to show himself very soon as a false prophet of the Bible. A fallen angel. Demonic. Who's going to bring you peace, he says. Matter of fact, they even have a message that I may cover later on this week about their message they're giving to the world by Sanan de Manuel. Always going to bring peace and love, tranquility, pay off debt, pay you off and buy you off, buy you out. And then they're going to come crashing down. World War One, Harry Patch, what he went through. Here's what happened. The Hudson Institute and the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace both actually published reports back in the 1900s, 1909 time frame, stating that war is the only means found thus far to control and alter the lives of large groups of people. Thus, globally connected politicians and bankers love wars for two purposes. Now, the politicians are controlled by the secret societies. You see, they're controlled by the secret societies, the politicians are. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, and all those. For example, in the Middle Ages, the Knights Templar, the ones that control the banking and finance today, that's correct, Irish, not Jewish, was an order that fought in the Crusades on behalf of the papacy. The Templar Knights were given the ability to ignore many laws and taxes and authorities, but had to obey the Pope. Now, why did they fight the Crusades? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. The reason they fought in the Crusades was because Islam was created by the Vatican as a religion in the 6th century to control the Arabs that did not become Roman Catholic. So they created a religion for them, the Bedouins in the desert, and they called it Islam. It was created by the Vatican. And they raised Muhammad the prophet from 6 years old to 25, and they married him off. They call it Match.com of the Middle East, if you will, ran by not Harmony, but by the Vatican, to Quadjana, who was a rich widow, Arab, raised as a nun in a convent, who was 40 years old. We're talking a serious cougar here. Yeah. They control Muhammad. Muhammad the prophet, by marriage, in his bloodline, King Edward IV linked Muhammad the prophet in the same bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II. Whoa, isn't that a hoot and a holler? So the Vatican created Islam as a religion. And then they funded, in about the 10th century, not the 10th century, they funded the Islamic invasion of northern Africa, the Vatican did, to protect Roman Catholics, secure Jerusalem for the Pope, and to kill Christians and Jews was the three agreements made to the Roman, to the Vatican, to the invading armies of Islam, made this agreement with the Vatican for those three purposes, except the Muslims reneged. They said, well, we're just not going to give you Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, we're doing pretty good. We're undefeated. We're going into Europe. That began the First Crusade. Knights Templar. Now you got the idea? They had to put down what they had started in the first place, 11 Crusades later. There'll soon be a re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church to revert back to the secular humanism of the New Age movement, which was the ancient mystery religions. Oh, that's only part of this, man. That's only part of it. So the Knights Templar has come along. That is the enemy in and of themselves. And you see the Knights Templar in the original form. There's new versions of it. You got the cross. So all those that are in the pulpit, and they got like a cross, a red cross. That's where Red Cross was formed by the Rothschilds, to collect blood. Give blood? Collect blood. That's what it's for, really. And use them to find the Jewish bloodlines. If I'm a minister and I've got a red cross shield in front of my pulpit, you got yourself a bona fide Mason or Prince Hall affiliated Boulay Society. Yeah, you do. If the order is subservient to the Pope alone and the British Queen and American President are members of the order, then who rules the Western world and causes the wars? Well, the Knights of Malta. One order of interest that we have is the Knights of Malta. And you know, according to the Catholic Encyclopedia, the order of the Knights of Malta is the most, quote, important of all military orders, both for the extent of the area, for its duration, is said to have existed before the Crusades and is not extinct at the present time. The Knights of Malta wore similar costumes. Stylized cross, we'll see on the uniforms, is known as the Maltese cross. Does Germany sound familiar to you? And the crosses they had on their airplanes? How about that, huh? That's the Knights of Malta. A Protestant branch of the Knights of Malta is the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. And you know that Queen Elizabeth II, who married Prince Philip, who was speaking in that film we just had, had three sisters who married three Nazis. Now you know why Queen Elizabeth II, Adolf Hitler, Stalin, and Churchill, who was a Knights of Malta, are all cousins. Let that sink in. Okay, enough sinking. And who were the Knights of Malta, you ask? Who was initially Knights of Malta? Well, how about a few? Tony Blair, Oh, he was in the film, wasn't he? Yeah. Michael Bloomberg. General William Boykin. Rick Joyner, minister. Nicholas Brady. How about Pat Buchanan, the high priest in Luciferian order and Knights of Malta? James Buckley, William Buckley, George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, Jeb Bush, Prescott Bush Jr., Frank Carlucci, William Casey, Michael Sherkoff, I got another name for him, but I won't say it, Noam Chomsky, President Billy Bob Clinton, you know, President Clinton, right, you know, making the cigars, okay, that's the one I'm talking about. Bill Donovan, Alan Dulles, Avery Dulles, some other well-known, Gerber, of course, Gorman, Alan Greenspan, General Alexander Haig, who teamed up with Kissinger to come up with the NSSM 200 depopulation plan. Those murderers, like Carter, Jimmy Carter, Global 2000, to depopulate the world with their plans. Habsburg, Otto. Oh, did I say General Alexander Haig? Oh, I did. Oh, I said it twice, didn't I? Oh, excuse me. William Randolph Hearst. Did you know William Randolph Hearst and the Rockefellers funded Billy Graham in 1949-1950? And Billy Graham's a 33rd degree Mason. And also, he's a Jesuit. I got pictures of him receiving a certificate. Himmler, Heinrich Himmler, was a Knights of Malta. Richard Holbrooke, J. Edgar Hoover, Leonard Horowitz, Lee Iacocca, Francis Kellogg, Joseph Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, Henry Kissinger. General Lorenzo. Nelson Mandela, that murderer, couldn't hold a candle to Martin Luther King Jr. A real man of peace, not like Mandela, who's a murderer. Rupert Murdoch, who owns the NIV Bible, and also he owns Satan's Bible. Rupert Murdoch owns both of them. He's a high priest in Luciferian order. Oliver North. Joseph O'Hara, Tip O'Neill. Y'all getting the idea here? How deep this goes? Eric Prince, Blackwater. Hey, militia, you got a lot of work to do. How about President Ronald Reagan? How about Joseph Rettinger? Reynolds, Nelson Rockefeller, David Rockefeller. Amschel Meyer von Rothschild, Rick Santorum. Oh, man, do we have a FBI most wanted here? And let me tell you, Joseph Edward Schmitz, Blackwater, Frank Shakespeare, go figure, Frank Sinatra, Moon River, anyway, look at this, George Tenet, Ted Turner, James Utt, John Birch Society, Amschel Meyer von Rothschild, General William Westmoreland, and General Anthony Zini. I'll stop there for the time being. Got a whole lot more shaking going on. Now, the United States is under the rule. We are under the rule in the United States of the papacy. Most American presidents have been involved in Freemasonry, outwardly a Protestant secret society that's actually controlled by Catholic Jesuits. Are y'all getting the idea here? And I bet you not one of them is a Muslim. And very few of them are Jews. Some are, but you have others as well. Now, I'm going to stop there with that. Oh, they say here, let's see. live in truth, have faith, repent of sins, give proof of humility, love justice, be merciful, be sincere, endure persecution. Oh, they left out one, number 9, start wars. They forgot that one. Okay, now, all that being said, the politicians, it's an efficient means of controlling large groups of people to have a war. It brings more people who pay taxes under the control and enables them to pass restrictive legislation, stealing freedom bit by bit from the people. And in fact, the U.S. War Powers Act of March 1933 under FDR is a perfect example of freedom-destroying emergency legislation. Does that sound familiar to you? Called the National Defense Authorization Act? It should. Nothing new under the sun. They just changed the name. For the bankers, who's controlled by the Vatican, it leads to huge profits. After World War I, Germany paid large sums, even to the globalists, in war reparations. They used the Versailles Peace Treaty to make Germany destitute, blame it on the Jews, to foment the anti-Jewish, anti-Semite role, and to galvanize the country against the Jews. Also constructed by the Jews themselves, the tribe of Dan. Not really Jews, actually. Much of Luciferians trying to take over. But the Vatican controls them. This destroyed the economy and created the hyperinflation that was responsible by design for the rise of Hitler to power in World War II. Hitler was funded in 1928 by Wall Street, trained at Tavistock Behavioral Think Tank in England. Now, to continually reap these huge profits, the globalists will do whatever is necessary to foster war and rebellion. Now, why would they do that? Pray tell. It's a strategy. I've given it to you all many times to bring together the connection. I give it to you again. It's a quote by Orson Welles. I'm sorry, Vladimir Lenin. He says, I quote, "The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension and rebellion, you'll have repression and dictatorship by consent." Now, as I'm going to demonstrate, they think nothing of wasting the lives of brave men and women in the military, as we did, for their own selfish gain. They create the enemy that we have to fight on both sides, against each other, not knowing it's being orchestrated behind closed doors by the very people working together that they're supposed to be a part of. American money, our money, financed the enemies and killed our own sailors and soldiers, and we funded the Bolshevik Revolution. We funded Adolf Hitler through Wall Street, Rockefellers. Norman Dodd, a former U.S. congressman, he confirms that war is the most effective means for controlling people. And he testified that he was invited to study the minutes of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. I give another testimony of another congressman. Will that work for you? It would be in another war. Two of them, actually. To show you how they do this. Now, we're talking first about Vietnam.
No, it was just confusion. And events afterwards showed that our judgment that we'd been attacked that day was wrong.
Gulf of Tonkin.
It didn't happen.
I referred to it as another sinking of the Maine.
Suggesting?
Senator Wayne Morse.
Well, you know what the best historical advice is in regard to the sinking of the Maine. It was a deliberate act on the part of the United States to have an excuse to go to war against Spain. The Gulf of Tonkin was in a deliberate, aggressive act on the part of the Johnson administration to justify making war against North Vietnam.
American deaths in Vietnam, 58,220. Civilian casualties, 1,170,000. And civilian deaths, 1 million. The deaths in Vietnam, half of the deaths were by booby trap, and our military-industrial complex provided the necessary specifications for a glycerol factory to be built in Russia, and the Russians, by agreement, provided the glycerol to the VC in order to make the booby traps to kill our own troops. And the Agent Orange was to start the cancer for the troops then. That was the purpose of Agent Orange, the exact purpose. We work for the Vatican, and always have, and the industrialists, always have. Norman Dodd said when he testified to study the minutes of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in 1909, Norman Dodd was, in the 1960s, was allowed to study that meeting, which was in 1909, and he said, and I quote, "The trustees of the foundation brought up a single question. If it is desirable to alter the life of an entire people, is there any means more efficient than war? They discussed this question for a year and came up with an answer. There are no known means more efficient than war, assuming the objective is altering the life of an entire people. That leads them to the question, how do we involve the United States in a war? And this was in 1909, unquote. Norman Dodd. Norman Dodd was a member of the Iron Mountain Commission in 1966. He was told to go to the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and read the minutes of this meeting, because they were coming up with methodology, techniques, programs to alter the life of a people in the time of peace. So in peace, how do we control people? That was part of the Iron Mountain Report. Never meant to be released to the national, to the American public. Lyndon B. Johnson forbid it to be released. But it was let out by one of the members of that 15-men group. And Leonard Lewin was contacted by one of the members, anonymous members, who gave him a copy of the report and said, "Print this sucker, man." Well, when he printed it, the copies got out. Government went after him, and he was told, ordered to retract it, but it was too late. So you have report from Iron Mountain on the possibility and desirability of peace. Well, that's not what it's for. It was to determine how you can best control and alter people in the time of peace. How do you control them in, otherwise? In war is the best way. Well, we don't have a war right now. Okay, so in peace, how do we control them? And they came up with, after a year also, 1966, they came up with methods, programs to control people in the time of peace. What they came up with? Very quickly. A comprehensive social welfare program toward maximum improvement of general conditions of human life. A giant open-end space research program aimed at unreachable targets. They lied about the moon. I got the, right here to tell you how to control people in time of peace. How to set up the believability, if that's a word, of extraterrestrial travel was NASA, formed by Nazis, von Braun, and others. Now you got it? A permanent, ritualized, ultra-elaborate disarmament inspection system and variants of such a system to disarm the world. A virtually omnipotent international police force, UN. An established and recognized extraterrestrial menace. Right there it is. A fake ET existence. Massive global environmental pollution. There's your so-called global warming and lies. Fictitious alternate enemies. Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, controlled by Mossad, controlled by the Vatican, controlled by the CIA. Fictitious alternate enemies that they produce to make look like they're really enemies and they're not. They control them, that's why. Programs derived from Peace Corps model like a modern form of slavery. Intensified environmental pollution. How about new religions or other mythologies? Scientology was number one. Charismatic movement was number two. Other created religions. And socially oriented blood games. That's mixed martial arts. Professional wrestling. You see how it controls people? That's the purpose of it. That's the only purpose of the entertainment. It's the same thing in the Colosseums of Rome. And the combination forms. And a comprehensive program of applied eugenics. Transhumanism. Family, that's a short of how they've done it. Let's go back to Norman Dodd. And back to the World War I veteran. The planned entry into World War I. You know that it's absolutely outrageous that the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace would be designed to involve the United States in a war. How's the best way to control people? War. We don't have a war. Now, I've given you the alternatives they've come up with to keep us busy. And I've got it documented in the Iron Mountain Report. Now, they're trying to downplay it because they know it's true. But it's absolutely outrageous, then, that the Carnegie Endowment for Peace would want to involve the United States in a war. But it was clear that there is a hidden agenda motivated not by peace, but that time by financial gain. Now, let's give you some evidence here. Charles Callan Tansel quoted William Jennings Bryan. He said, I quote, "As Secretary Bryan had anticipated, the large banking interests were deeply interested in World War, that'd be World War I, because of wide opportunities for huge profits." Hang on to your seats. Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was then in World War I, Assistant Secretary of the Navy. He was upset, very much so, over our slowness in entering World War I. You heard me right. See, he had been in constant conflict with his chief, Secretary of the Navy, Joseph Daniels, over this particular issue. As a matter of fact, historian Joseph Lash said, and I quote, "Daniels resisted every move that might carry the United States into the war. He opposed the arming of merchant ships, intentionally provoking the German Navy into believing that the ship was a ship of war. Roosevelt favored both, and when a filibuster prevented congressional authorization of the arming of the merchantmen, Roosevelt was impatient with Wilson for not immediately using his executive power to arm the ships. Democrat Roosevelt dined at the Metropolitan Club with a group of Republican war hawks." See, they all work together. "The primary topic of discussion was, according to Roosevelt's diary, quote, how to make administration steer a clear course to uphold rights. Unquote. Now, he continues, this was euphemism for an aggressive policy on the high seas that would result in incidences that involved the United States in the war. Unquote. So, having already determined that the United States would be brought into the war, and by an incident at the sea, work began on a plan to do just that. Colin Simpson, another historian, said, and I quote, begin quote, Cunard Shipping Lines, owner of the Lusitania, turned the ship over to the British First Lord of the Admiralty, Winston Churchill. He was Knights of Malta, remember? The ship was sent to New York City, where it was loaded with 6 million rounds of ammunition, bought and paid for by J.P. Morgan and company. And before it set sail for England, the German government warned Secretary of State William Jennings Bryan and President Woodrow Wilson, quote, or I mean, break, controlled by Mandel House, by the way. Wilson was a dupe. He is controlled. He wrote about Mandel House as his alter ego. That means he was possessed. He was controlled because Mandel House was in the occult. He has one evil man. You got it now? Have the control? Anyway, continuing. The German government warned Secretary of State William Jennings Bryan and President Woodrow Wilson that it would be sunk and innocent passengers killed. Continuing quote, Wilson said Bryan did nothing. As the ship entered the English Channel on May the 7th, 1915, Churchill ordered the single British escort ship to abandon the Lusitania. Now a setting duck, it was sunk by three German U-boats, and 1,201 innocent lives were lost. One well-known author of a book on the Lusitania called it the foulest act of willful murder ever committed on the high seas, unquote. Colin Simpson. Just like Churchill, not only responsible with, at the same time frame, about 5 years later, Churchill and FDR planned Pearl Harbor in the mid-1920s with the Japanese elite. They planned Pearl Harbor to justify as a false flag to bring us into World War II. Because the war to end all wars was supposed to be a new world order, also failed. It didn't end all wars like they had planned it, because God's in control. So through foul, though foul is accomplished the purpose, we're now in the war, and don't forget why. Ferdinand Lundberg said, and I quote, World War I provided an unparalleled opportunity for the richest families to grab exorbitant profits at the expense of the public. And without exception, they made the most of this opportunity. The rich families, to be sure, wanted the war to be won, but they took care that the victory was expensive to the common taxpayers, unquote. Now, in the research, I found that one of the families who reaped the most profits were the Rockefellers. And they were eager for the United States to enter World War I, and they made more than $200 million from that conflict. And the fortunes made from World War I, well, that wasn't enough. Only 20 years later, they would gain and manipulate our country into armed conflict of World War II. And you know the major source of Hitler's financial power came from a chemical cartel called IG Farben. And IG Farben had a little-known source of its enormous power. That's Wall Street. Quote, historian Anthony Sutton, begin quote, without the capital supplied by Wall Street, there would have been no IG Farben in the first place, and almost certainly no Adolf Hitler in World War II, unquote. Now, Wall Street's controlled by the Vatican, Roman Catholics, Irish, Knights Templar. You've got Jews in there, too. You got Germans in there, too. You got Italians in there, too. You got Irish and Scottish and English and all of them. You include all of them, and they all boil down to one. Secret societies, Knights of Malta. I don't think that there's any Islamic fundamentalist in Wall Street. The Jews don't run the Vatican, by the way. Has anybody figured that out yet? Do the Jews run the Pope? Or are you going to tell me the Pope is a Jew? That's so asinine Christian identity, I can't even begin to start talking about it. And I'll sit there and blink my eyes in embarrassment at the idiocy of thinking there's a Jew behind every door. You keep forgetting about the Italians and Germans and Scotch and Irish and Lord knows whatever else. Chinese aren't Jews. You ever guess that one? They're all part of it. What are they? The synagogue of Satan. Luciferian, secret societies. Now you're getting somewhere. It's pretty obvious that unpatriotic capitalists schemed and orchestrated all this. Now, family, tomorrow I'm going to talk about World War II, UN influence, and so forth. Give you more information on part two tomorrow. And we'll talk about, too, how the Bundys fit into this. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I thought this particular song was rebellious. I never really did like it, but now I understand it. Back in the day when I was in high school, I thought there was a bunch of anti-Americans. But the song goes something like this. Come here. That's the truth. Hard for me to say because of what I've done, what I've been involved in, wanted to do. Now I understand it's being orchestrated by the secret societies in preparation for their new Atlantis, stepping on the heads of all those underneath them. But the thing is, it's for nothing because they will never, ever achieve it. It is impossible for them to achieve this. It will not happen. However, God allows us to go on because he loves us. You know why? Because he wants as many as possible. Gives us enough time to spread the gospel for those to accept Jesus as Savior. That's the reason for it. But there's coming a time of an overbalance, outbalance, unbalance. He's going to say that's enough. And then you're in it. And if you wait until that time, it may be too late. Now's the time to take Jesus as Savior. I'm going to cover tomorrow, part two. And we'll go into World War II. And Korea and Vietnam. I'll cover some new areas. And show you how they're trying to take your children. And euthanasia and the whole nine yards. It's all combined together. You can deny it, but you won't prove me wrong. Again, I'm not looking for me. I'm trying to come across to show you all what the dickens is going on. In the best way I can do it. Try to get your attention. And then you go back and you research it. You find out for yourselves. I follow Jesus. That's it. I'm done. This Bundy thing, for example, is a made up. Bundy's work with the feds behind the door, just like Martin Luther worked with the Vatican back in the 15th or 16th century to create a dialectic called Protestantism to identify those that wouldn't accept the Roman Catholic Church. They created religion. The religion they created was Protestantism. For those Muslims, or excuse me, for the Arabs that didn't follow the Roman Catholic doctrine in the 6th century, they created a religion called Islam. You getting the idea here? What's really going on and the nature of war? This is the reality, and you won't find this in history books. But this is these are the facts. History is written by the winners, and then they project the next history, and then they write about it. That's a one-sided affair, if I've ever heard one. Family, let you all know that we're played. We're played, all right. We're played. Our broadcasts and Bible studies are played at highpointradio.net. And I do want to say for those in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highpointradio.net is building his network up. I'm not sure to what extent. He's doing a tower every month. I don't know when he's going to stop, but he needs some support from those of you up there in Pennsylvania and New York and New Jersey. He's got a load of sponsors, and then promote those sponsors to provide him, you know, help to help build his network. All we get is our broadcast and Bible studies played. That's fine, at a random basis. That's all I care about. And we have a website. I do have a website, watchmenforjesus.com. And you have my archives. And I just have a few studies. I don't have it. It's not a complicated website. It's very simple. But I got a whole lot of information there. It's going to keep you busy for a long time. But it tells you about the suicides that are being orchestrated. I got two studies. HPV vaccination is killing off your children and sterilizing them is the purpose of it. And I got a timeline that goes back till 1700s till now, pretty much 200 pages, a timeline of the New World Order. And then from there, you branch out to do the research and what you're going to be busy. But the main thing to be busy about, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. The King James Bible and taking Jesus Christ as your Savior is really all you need to know, quite frankly. Y'all have a good night and know that Jesus Christ won on the cross of Calvary and they lost. It's over. except we've got to go through the tribulations. At some point in the first six seals is the rapture. When? Nobody knows. It will be before the first trumpet, though, because those, the elect, take Jesus Christ as Savior, are not appointed to wrath God. Why would God want to bring wrath down upon those who accept Him as a Savior? So between the first and seventh seal is a rapture. More than likely, the sixth or seventh seal. After the fifth seal, the soul's on the altar. Somewhere there, God's going to remove His church. And no pun intended, all hell will break loose. Now, upon the Christians that take Jesus Christ as Savior, they're going to be martyrs now. There's going to be martyrs. If you're strong in the faith of the Lord, so what? You believe in your soul going to heaven? What's the problem? I don't see one. Y'all have a good night now here. This is The Watchman signing off.
Shining up from Him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night. God bless. And don't forget Bible study tonight, 7:30. Good night. Signing off.